Hey, welcome back to Thinking Unwind with me, Nathan James. How are you guys doing? I've had a kind of a busy week. I've had a lot of projects going on. I've been thinking about what to do for like this pod, this episode. I actually didn't decide until like this morning. No, yesterday. Yesterday at midnight, I decided what I was going to do. So I've been just reading all day while doing everything else about like music. But what about music? I'm talking about what it does to you. Why do you like that music? Why do you get so fucking sad when you hear that song that played when your favorite character died in that show? You know that song? You know that every time that song hits, it's like you're at a funeral? Yeah, we're gonna see like why that happens. You'd probably be surprised by how much music affects you. It like really does. It really, really like fucks with your brain. But it, at the same time, it's kind of just a mirror of yourself, which I found very interesting. I don't know about you guys, but I like music. I love music. It's weird that I love music because my parents actually never really had a love for music. None of them really listen to it recreationally, you know. They just do it to like dance at parties and whatnot, or just for like some like background ambience while doing some kind of stupid shit. But I properly just lay on my bed and I go like, I want some really depressive music right now because I hate myself right now. So I just want something to amplify that depression. Because that's logical, right? Yeah, that's logical. Yeah, so I do that. I really, really enjoy just like listening to different parts of songs, like completely like decomposing it. Going like, oh, look at that like guitar riff, that sounds really nice, and how it like harmonizes with the drums and whatnot. I don't know. I just enjoy the art. I properly enjoy the art. And like, I don't really have a certain taste. I listen to a lot of rock. Like, rock is definitely my, you know, it's my jam. It is my thing that I really do enjoy, and you will make me happy whenever you put on rock. If you put on like jazz, I don't know. I don't think it will be the same. But I actually remember how I started listening to rock. It was by pop rock, because when I was a kid, I was just like my parents, you know. I wouldn't listen to music when I was like, say, 8, 9, I don't know. I wouldn't listen to music. It was just something that I'd hear here and there because of, I don't know, an event, whatever. So the only time I put on music would be pop. It would be like the top 100. Not even the top 10. I'd have like 10 songs and they would be the top 10 of the moment. And when I was 8, 9, that would be like Katy Perry and whatnot. So I just put that on and say, this is really good. I really did enjoy it, so I guess it was good. But something at some point made me want to listen to a bit more music. And if I have this correct, right, the thing that really made me like music was I was on YouTube, right, and an ad popped up for what I think was Call of Duty, like Modern Warfare? Maybe? I don't know if it was Modern Warfare. No, it couldn't have been that. I don't know. How old is that one? Oh, I don't... Oh, fuck. I don't remember. But I do remember that the soundtrack was by this band called Dorothy. You know, like, from, like, The Wizard of Oz. But just a Dorothy, that's it. And it's from their first album. And it was, like, a really good song called, like, Missile. Or Missile. If you want to go the full American way. I love that. Because it's a very kind of, it's a hard rock. It's hard rock, but it wasn't too, like, heavy or anything. It wasn't too much for my young pop brain. So it was a good, like, transition. And with that, I listened to other like, hard rock, classical rock. I started listening to those songs and just slowly evolved and it corrupted more and more my musical taste until I ended up listening to like new metal and like death metal and shit like that. But I also really do like other genres. I will enjoy genre anything. I'll put on some fucking jazz and I'll be vibing with you. If you put on salsa, I want to be dancing and whatnot. I'm into it. I'm into music. I'm into the art of music. So it's very hard for me not to like something. And I feel like that is connected to my personality in like some kind of way. Like, it's actually, I mean, there aren't many studies. From what I've gathered, which has been just like 10 minutes of Googling, like, of just shit, from what I've quote-unquote gathered, there haven't been any, like, big studies and or conclusive ones which created a relationship or something like that between your emotion, your personality, I mean, not the emotions, your personality and music. Like, what makes you have what kind of taste? Does it change your personality, or is it because of your personality that you choose this? It still hasn't been studied that much, but I'm very, like, open-minded. I'd like to say, I'm doing this, for example, and I'm okay. Like, I'm up for having a debate with anyone as long as it's a proper, thought-out debate. I'm not gonna talk to some kind of fucking Karen. What the fuck is Karen gonna tell me? Like, oh no. Like, what the fuck is this? You should not wear a mask. And it's like, I mean, like, what are you saying? You are not worth anyone's time. You are being a parasite of my time. You're sucking off my time when I could be doing something else. Maybe slightly a bit more productive. Not that much more productive, I'm going to be honest, but at least a bit. I have like an open mind. I like getting lots of things into my brain, getting new information, getting different perspectives on things. It's fun. I find it fun. I just do. And so I guess that reflects on my music, on how I'm willing to listen to any music as long as it's good. If it's good jazz, I'll enjoy the jazz. If it's good classical music, I'll enjoy it. So, and I've also self-determined. I don't need no psychoanalyst. I don't need no psychotherapist. Fuck them. I'm better than them. Kind of just like analyzing myself, which I can't say is a professional analysis. I feel like I have every single fucking personality that exists. I'm everything. Like, that I shift from every single fucking emotion, every single view on things. Like, 1 minute I'm going to be conservative, 1 minute I'm going to be like liberal, and I don't mean like the by bi-party system of the US. I mean, just in my ideology. I'm gonna be liberal, I'm gonna be conservative, and the next thing I'm gonna be communist. And then later I'm just gonna be like a fucking dictator. I shift so much. It's just about, it's just my mood, really. It's just my mood. So it goes with my like music, my taste in music. Something I found funny about people who listen to rock was you know, if someone listens to rock, you kind of remember the concerts, you remember the mosh pits, everyone with their like black clothing, they look rough, they look like they're ready to fuck shit up, they're pushing each other, head banging. Slipknot, you know, has its fucking masks which try to scare you or add to the it's creepy kind of ambience. And studies have shown that most people who listen to metal are really gentle people. They're just really kind and calm and easygoing. They just don't care. They're the nicest people, and it's fucking funny because it's not what you expect. It is not what you would expect. They listen to this very hard and violent music. Violent in the sense that it just hits you and hits you with that beat, those really heavy riffs and whatnot. You just wouldn't expect a guy to just go I listen to metal sometimes. I really enjoy it. You know, you expect a guy with a very rough kind of voice. But no. They're just fucking there, and they don't really give a shit. I find that funny. And what rock music is normally about is going against the norm, right? Fuck Big Brother. We're all about rebellion, anarchy, reforming the system. You know, we want change. So that's if you have that kind of personality, someone that who seeks the importance of justice, someone who values ethics and really, really wants to push for what they believe in, you'd probably like rock or some kind of upbeat music like that. While if you're someone who focuses more on human emotions, you really like thinking about people's feelings, how what they're experiencing and on empathy, you're probably going to like slow music, very kind of calming music. I don't know. That's just what I've read. I sometimes find myself doing that. I sometimes get that, you know, that anarchy fever. You just really, really just want change. You're ready to go out and protest with your fists up. And then the next thing I know, I'm on my bed crying, listening to Hallelujah. there's a difference, and there's kind of a duality in my brain. I don't know. But what can music do? Is music just there to entertain you? Technically, but it actually has a lot of good, positive effects on your, health. And your mental health, especially. One thing it can help out with is pain relief. It reduces pain. It actually triggers your opioids. And if you don't know what opioids are, just think of opium, right? You got opium. If you don't know what opium is, think heroin. Heroin is derived from opium. And many of, painkillers. There you go. Painkillers. Many painkillers come from opium. Opiates. They're called opiates. And, yeah, this is that effect. That kind of, an aesthetic feel good. That's what music can trigger. It triggers those receptors in your brain. It goes like, oh yeah, I'm going to reduce pain now and feel pretty chill. That's what it's all about. That's what it does. So they've done it with like people and different like situations, like different patients having different procedures done on them. And if they were listening to music, they'd be more calm because it also relieves stress. And they'd say they didn't experience as much pain as they would have without music. So, if you're ever going to go through something painful, you can listen to music. And it will reduce it by like 70% or something like that. Yeah, it also does your stress. It lowers your cortisol. And I don't know, I find that amazing. I find that just some audio, something that is just fucking waves of, I don't know, movement going into your ear and just creating this vibration is enough to reduce pain and relieve like strain on your head, like on your brain. I don't know, I find that very, very interesting. I hope like you guys can too, because if you don't find that interesting, then you're not really going to enjoy this podcast. You're not going to have a good time on the rest of this episode. Also, now this is a pretty good little like factoid, a questionable factoid. As I said, you should not believe anything I say 100%. But people who had strokes can sing almost like when they were like normal, like before having a stroke, but they can't speak. You know, when you have a stroke, you go through some shit, and you're gonna have to go through therapy to, you know, improve your language skills again. Like your speech, it gets fucked up. You might not be able to speak well at all, or do that stuff. And things in involving words just really don't work on with you for a while. So you have to do therapy, but they saw that when the like stroke victims tried to sing, they'd sing either just a bit worse or on par with how they would sing before the stroke, which is like kind of cool. So they might not be able to speak to you, but they can be in a musical, you know? So that's cool. That's a cool little thing. I've just got these notes on my phone because of like different things here and there, because I can't remember all of it. Apparently, one of the notes here is that Bach may never replace Prozac. That is a quote from Harvard. Bach may never replace Prozac, but it's still good. Prozac, if you don't know, is an antidepressant. So, it doesn't beat drugs, but music is still good. Yeah, you might have a better time with some serious antidepressants and painkillers, but come on, music is a little thing right there. It's a little bonus for you, just right there. What else can I say about music? I don't know. It really shows who you are. I've noticed it really does show a lot of you, and it does affect your mood. Especially, now that I'm thinking about it, if there is a memory related to that song, to that melody, right? Right? Come on, you guys can't tell me you've never, like, had a song play during a certain period of your like life, and then whenever you hear that song, you remember that period. Like for some people, at least where I live, it's a thing that you dedicate songs to your special someone, right? So when you're together, you've got like your song. I don't know, that's way too lovey-dovey for me. I get sick when somebody tells me that, but it happens. And they have like their song, and oh my God, baby, I love you so much. Play our song because I'm feeling so in love with you right now. Oh God, that's just, that. I can't say it's stupid. Like you live you, right? You do what the fuck you want to do. If you're happy that way, that's cool. Who am I to judge you? You're living a happier life than I am. So I can't really say anything to you. But they have this song. But what happens when they break up? What the fuck happens when they break up? They never want to hear that song again. I mean, it's not an 100% like thing. Some people will still listen to the song because they won't relate it. But a lot of people will listen to that song and go like, oh fuck, I remember Anthony. Oh, Anthony. The times. He was such a prick though. Why did he have to be such a prick? And you get like all sad. Or whatever. Or maybe mad. Yeah, like or if maybe if you have like a song at a funeral of someone who was very special to you, that song might remind you forever of that person's death. And will elicit that kind of like depressed mood right out of you. It'll go like, hey, remember this. Your brain again works against you and it goes like, oh, look, let me listen to that pattern. Oh wow, that pattern reminds me of my grandmother's death. Let me just send that memory right back to my host. My host will really enjoy having that memory again, right? Right? No. Yeah, no. So many it and something I like to think about a lot, and like I feel like I've noticed, is that through music, you could create a connection with the artist, right? Have you guys never felt that? You're listening to like a lot of music by this one guy, or maybe just one song, if the song is like really emotional or something. You kind of feel like you understand them. Now, this doesn't work with pop artists, not all of them. It works for like singer-songwriter like songs, you know, like where the singer is actually also the songwriter, because they will be the ones who wrote the message and are conveying it, so it's pure. It's absolutely pure. Do you guys not feel like you get a connection with that person? Or have at least some kind of understanding of them? And it explains that whole like fan thing, right? Becoming a fan. I think actually any fan can be explained this way, that by enjoying someone's work, you start thinking that you're their friend, or they're your friend. You start thinking that you guys have connected and you've got a thing going on, you know, like, bro, I'm vibing here with Kurt Cobain. He knows, you know, I just get all of his thoughts right now, and you create that whole fan thing. You start liking them a lot because since they're technically speaking to you a lot during the day, if you really like them, you might be listening to their songs all day, so you just hear their voice. You hear their hearts being poured out to you, right? Just everything that they feel is being sent towards you and their thoughts. And so that is kind of like having a conversation, but one-sided. And you create that whole friend, like fake friendship, because they don't know anything about you. They don't even know you exist, which is pretty sad, but not saying that they don't care about the fans. I'm just saying that they can't know you, yet you feel like you know them personally. And that's, I don't know, I'm curious about that. I'm very curious about how that happened, how that continues to happen. and explains like how some people can feel betrayed when an artist does a certain thing that they don't like. They go like, how dare he? He knows I don't like that, right? It explains a lot of this, lots of these like little tricks that are going on in your mind, in your mind palace. Another thing, right, is the artist himself or herself, themselves. I mean, wow, I'm really shitty at grammar today. Actually, every day. When you are an artist, first of all, apparently that's really good for your memory. Like being someone who creates music, plays some kind of instrument, including your voice. Your voice is an instrument, though not really. like, come on, get a fucking guitar or something. But apparently playing that, any instrument like that can stimulate your memory, which makes sense. Like I've said, like last episode, muscle memory is a thing, right? You don't even think about notes anymore. You just go for it. And this, you started looking at your piece of instrument, right? Your piece of metal. And no longer is it to you this weird puzzle of what the fuck is this combination of things making these different kind of sounds. But more, it's like, oh, this plus this plus this equals soul. This equals do. You just know it. You know what fret equals what note. Or at least you know like the pitch by ear. So it does stimulate like your memory. So people who tend to be musicians get a higher IQ. Like they raise their IQ. Also, now that I'm talking about IQ, when you listen, this is called like the Mozart effect. But apparently, not only like do musicians, as I said, get some kind of they get pretty good at math for some reason. They, like if you listen to some Mozart, specifically Mozart, because that's like what the experiment was done with, before an IQ test, you raise your IQ, not by much, but like from 2 to 9 points. You might say that's not that much, but 2 to 9 points can get you into Mensa, right? It can get you into society, even though you are not that smart. That's only when you're high on Mozart, right? It's like being on Adderall. But it does raise it, which is kind of cool too. It's like exercise for your brain cells, apparently. But as I was saying, when you're a musician and you're writing your music, you're really expressing everything, right? You're really just, if you're a good musician, you're going to put your heart into it. If you're a sellout, you're just going to say bullshit. And you'll gain more money. You will gain more money. But you're not going to really be in any Hall of Fame. Nobody will really like your music. They just listen to it. Nobody really likes it. But if you do put in, like, everything that you're feeling, like, your whole ideology, what your frustration, you feel that. You feel that. Something about those patterns and vibrations that you receive elicits, like, a response. Your emotions connect with theirs, of like the artist's emotions in his song. If he's writing a song about how he had a really shitty childhood, even if you had a pretty fucking good childhood, you're gonna get sad with him. You're gonna go like, oh yeah, childhood was so shitty. Oh my god, all the crying. And like you lived with a golden retriever and a pretty big house with its own pool your father was a doctor, you never, you know, you got all the games you wanted, your mother loved you. Even if you had that perfect life, you're going to get sad because something is going to go like, oh yeah, remember those bad times? It's like that, it's that classic thing. I don't know if you guys ever have seen someone like comment this on a music video, but I have, about like some songs just make you have memories you never had. You remember things that never happened and moments that simply never existed. Isn't that cool? Is, or am I just crazy? That, I mean, obviously you don't get like proper memories. It's not like you're getting dementia, right? You're not just out of creating this new past for you, for yourself. But you do like feel like nostalgia for something you've never had, or you get depressed over a bad situation that never happened. It's like, what I feel maybe what's happening is those memories are going to you via the music. Those vibrations are a code with his words, of course. Like, if the song has lyrics, it's more likely for this to happen. That those, like, collection of words plus those vibrations send you that kind of, like, emotional memory. That longing for either a great time or for a better time. Many philosophers have always been trying to find out, like, what the fuck is up with music? Why is it so cool? Like, what's going on? No one's ever found out. It's a mystery. The only thing we can say right now is it's magic. It's fucking magic. And people who can play those guitar solos, they're wizards. It can only be explained by that. Because I can't do it, so it must be impossible, right? Right? That's how it works. If I can't do it, they're a witch. It's magic. It's black magic. They've made a pact with the devil. Fuck, that's a good segue. Because the demonizing of music, of popularity too, is something so overdone by like religious groups. I have nothing against religion. I'm gonna be honest, I'm religious. Not like how you would expect me to be religious, though. I'm religious in the sense of like, I have a belief, right? And I believe in certain traditions that must be kept. But these traditions are more just, like parties. Kind of events, you know, festivities. That's the name. Not traditions in, like, oh, the woman must clean the kitchen. No, not that kind of tradition. That I'm not, you know, I mean traditions as in just things that you do routinely yourself. So I have some of those. That's as religious as I get. And I also see religion as something pretty useful for humanity, even though it's been misused horrifically. I still feel it has a use. I might talk about that on like some other episode, so I'm not going to get too deep into that. I know I might be biased because I myself am religious, right? But I do recognize that there are very exaggerated people. Very exaggerated people. And people who don't even understand their own fucking religion. Like what the fuck, man? Like, where the hell did you get that teaching from? Or why do you think this way? That's not even in your holy book. Like, where did you come up with that? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Right? I don't know. Or, like, why are you believing every single thing your religious leader says? The leader's a dude. He's not God. He's just a dude. Right? He's just a dude who may have studied the book more, but, you know, there have been people who have been studying different books for many years and generations, And like they can get shit wrong. Right? It, come on, calm down. Where the hell I did people come up with the whole a 4x4 tempo is of the devil? I actually read that once from like a weird web page. Because when I was like younger, I was looking into like the whole like demonizing of certain music, and like the whole, you know, when you get like a record, when there were records, like proper vinyl records, that apparently you could, I don't know if it was like you flip them or if you put them in reverse and they have like a satanic message from like hell. Most like the most known one is Stairway to Heaven. I don't see it. Like I listen to it, I don't see it. You really have to fucking try to find it. You really have to fucking try. If you do want to listen to it in reverse, go listen to it. Don't read any lyrics that the people give to you in reverse, because then you will, your brain will match what it's reading to what it's hearing. So you will definitely hear what they're like saying. But if you don't put on the word, like the lyrics, and you just try and close your eyes and just try to make out the words, you're not gonna find anything. You're not gonna know what the hell just happened. But yeah, I was like reading about this stuff, and I found out, I found this place, and it was like, we all know as good Christians that anything that exceeds, I don't remember the exact number, let's say 140 beats per minute at a 4x4 tempo is satanic. We all know this. It is the rhythm of the devil. The rhythm that people use when they sacrifice their babies to pagan gods. First of all, my question is, how the fuck do they know what beat do, like, Satanists vibe to when they're sacrificing babies? You'd have to be there, right? Like, how would you know what satanic music is like? And second of all, I feel like it'd be more dissonant. I feel like it'd be very fucking weird, like just all over the place and chaotic. I don't know. I feel like it would be that way if I, from, you know, just to mirror like the whole chaos of doing that shit. But like that's stupid. Like, and this is not all Christians. Like not all Christians do this. A lot of like Christians are pretty fucking chill with like rock. Rock and metal has been very, very demonized. But not only them, by the way. Like a lot of like even pop has been. Even fucking Billie Eilish has been demonized. I don't remember like where I saw like a comment somewhere about like it must have been some kind of Christian Karen or something who says like, oh yeah, this is just like Billie Eilish's music trying to spread her satanic messages to the young generation. Like, where the fuck did satanic come from? What is even satanic to you, right? Like, where do you get this? She's like pretty pop. She isn't even like dark or anything. She's like dark, I guess, pop wise, but she isn't Cannibal Corpse, is she? Right? She isn't Slayer or even the very chill Metallica. So where the fuck are you getting this whole like thing from? You're making an ordeal of just nothing. I'm like, as I said, I'm religious and I don't consider it satanic. There is some music I can consider Satan worshipping because they literally do that, right? Like there are some that literally love Satan. I hate the name. The name Satan is so, I don't know. It's overused in such a religious context that I just don't like it. But like they worship like the devil, the horny boy himself. which, you know, I can get you, like, not being okay with, right? Like, I can't ask someone to be okay with something that is literally praising the bad guy of their religion, right? So, but what are you doing? Why protest and whatnot? Just don't listen to it. Just don't listen to it and tell your kid, hey, listen to whatever, but be careful because some people do this and they listen to and they sing about this. So be careful to not listen about this. And that's cool. And the kid will, you know, hopefully not. And if they do, well, you've done something wrong. You've done something wrong if the kid just completely goes against you. I don't know. But yeah, there's nothing. What can be wrong about a tempo? There just isn't anything wrong about a beat, a tempo, a rhythm, nothing, right? That there's, and like people confuse, a lot of people confuse like emotion, like dark emotions and remembering bad times as something evil. Something a lot of fucking people, which pisses me the fuck off, don't ever get is irony or like satire in music. Or, right? Like, sometimes this happens a lot in rock because this is where like the kind of like the domain for it. The singers will be playing the role of the piece of shit of like the antagonist of the story. For like Polly by Nirvana is played, you know, is sung through the eyes of the rapist. The dude who's raping is the one who's singing and giving you the song. And some people will go like, oh my god, this guy, this song is promoting rape. What the fuck? Bro, this is so evil. We should cancel him. It's not like promoting rape. He's protesting against it by showing you the disgustingness of it. Or sometimes they want to show you the absurdity of it. Or just show you how dark it is, how dark something can be to like wake you up, shock you. It's like when you watch a show and they go really into like detail with the gritty and they do really fucked up shit just to like remind you, we are capable of this. We are people, we are humans who have done a lot of shit. Wake up, we have to stop this. And some people just don't get it. They just go like, oh my god, it's promoting it. It's no. It's literally doing the opposite. So please, like, please support this because this can help change lives. Or some people like sing about suicide. It's cathartic. Getting it out of your system makes you not kill yourself. Do you not understand this? You crying when you listen to a good song or crying when you're writing a good song is cathartic. It means like you're getting it off your chest. I feel like it's even more cathartic for the writer because having someone listen to all your problems being expressed is kind of like what you want, right? You want people to listen to understand what the fuck is going on with you. Why are you feeling this way? So you put it in a song. And they can listen to it and go like, I understand you. Oh my god, I love it. I feel you, man. We're in this together. Why not? I don't know. So it stops people from killing themselves from not having anybody to talk to. I can't demonize music. It's too beautiful for me to be able to do it. It's something so essential in everybody's lives. You know, like you have listened to it or will have listened to music at a minimum for 20% of your life. 20% of your life has been listening to music. I could be wrong. And it has a lot to do with also it I don't know, fuck, I don't know, I don't know what to say, because I have like a lot of ideas going through my head at the same time. But you know how I was saying that it reflects kind of your personality too? That helps a lot to create friends. You know, when you find a friend who listens to the same kind of music as you do, for some reason you just like them, because you go like, ah, this is a person of taste. They know what shit is good. You know, thinking that you know what shit is good, when you probably listen to some pretty bad music and the other guy too. And you just found each other, like the two only fans of this very weird artist or whatever. It's like a tribal mentality, which is so dominant in like human psychology. So many things are attributed to us having that tribal mentality, that kind of like, these are my people. The whole like thing of creating friends is a tribal mentality. It's like, these are the people who I connect with. And that's why you get defensive when somebody shits on your music or on an artist you like, because you go like, this is part of my personality. This is an identifier of a group of mine. I have a bunch of friends who listen to rock, and we know each other because we listen to rock. So if you diss on rock, I'm going to get mad, because you're dissing on my group, essentially, you know? Or I love jazz, and I vibe with other jazz listeners. You can't shit on jazz. It really affects you more than you could possibly think. And you should always be, like, attentive, right? Attentive, careful, I don't know. Pay attention to what you're listening to, because it can elicit an emotional response at a time you might not want it. It can also sway your emotions. So, I got you guys a fucking tip and a half, right? If you're going through a depressive episode, if you do suffer from depression, or if you're just sad if you don't suffer from depression, what you can do is put on the music you want to listen to, which is probably some pretty sad music. But if you can, get your playlist or something, or you yourself cue up music and make it slowly more upbeat and happier. Just slowly. Like the next song, a bit less sadder. And then the next song, even less sadder, right? And just keep on going and going and going until you're listening to some happy songs. It will help. I'm not saying it will cure you, but it has helped me, so that's why I'm giving you the tip. It might not work for you, and if it doesn't, well, shit. But it does work for me, because it's kind of like a subtle molding of your mind. It kind of goes like, hey, you're sad now, but hey, you're getting less sad. Hey, you're getting even less sad. Wow, now you're happy. And wow, oh my god, you're ecstatic. Yeah. Yeah, music is just wow, right? Wow, guys. I've just spoke like almost an hour about music, and I have no idea what I was thinking about when I did this. Next episode, I might do something much more just, I guess, freestyle. I think I'm just going to sit down and think with you guys. We'll see what happens. Because I feel like I might have been a bit repetitive. Though I do hope you guys enjoyed this episode a bit more than the first one. I didn't like the first episode that much because I felt like I was a bit quiet. I felt like I didn't have the energy I wanted. I don't know if I have the energy now. I'm trying. Give me some feedback. tell me, guys, what you think. Send me some ideas. You can send me any kind of like ideas or articles or whatever you want me to read, maybe, to my Instagram. The handle, I believe now, is njames.mocha. You can just look up Nathan James. And a guy who has njames.mocha, you know, like a mochaccino. Don't ask why it's that, but it's that. Yeah, send me some shit there. I'll be happy to receive it. If I like the message you send me, that means I will be considering it. Or if I respond. I'm saying if I like the message, but I don't actually have a response ready because I don't know how to respond. I'm a bit socially awkward. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm cutting it shorter this time. I want to do it a bit shorter. 70 minutes is just not good, is it? No, it's not good. Yeah, I hope you guys have a nice week. A really great week. And have a good time. Just listen to some music. Get them good vibes, guys. Get them good vibes. All right. I'll see you guys. Bye-bye.